Welcome, everyone. Glad you came out tonight. Roll call, please.
Mayor Yates.
Here.
George League.
Here.
Noah Smuckler.
Here.
Nancy Johnson.
Here.
Carla Borchard.
Here.
Robert Enns.
Here.
Hal Phones.
Here.
Shirley Lyon.
Here.
Michael Foster.
Here.
Dan Chivins.
Dan is absent.
Thank you.
First item on the agenda is the public comment period. If any of you would like to address the JPA, this is the appropriate time. There will be public comment after the presentation of the alternative analysis study. So if you have comments on that, that would be the appropriate time to comment on it. If you have to go, of course, you're welcome to do that now. Please state your name for the record. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes when the buzzer and the light goes off. Appreciate you concluding. Good evening, Mr. Solu. Welcome.
Good evening, board. And my name is John Solu. I was waiting for Jane to get up to the podium up there. My name is John Solu. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and also a business owner. Before I start my quick presentation, I just wanted to let everyone know that 100% of us were born. 100% of us will die in one of these years, hopefully not in the near future. 100% of us eat food, 100% of us drink, and about 98% of us at least have one whoopee in our lifetime before we go away. And one of the other things we do is we do a number one and number two and take a shower every day. With that, I'll start my presentation. I just wanted to present you a current bill of a motel that is in Morro Bay that's 12 rooms. And that's kind of what the bill looks like. It's last month's bill. It's $768. Next slide, please. With that, when I convert that back into per occupied room per day, it costs us $3.16 or $1.58 per person if there's two people to a room. That equates to about 47.5 cents per person to do a number one, to do a number two, and to take a shower every single day in our hotel. Next slide, please. So the next thing is that I'm converting to you, if you can move that down just a little bit, it shows you what the Chevron site will do in an event that we go with the Chevron site. That takes into equation of capital cost increase from the proposed original to the proposed Chevron site plus the cost of running the operation of the Chevron site. Basically, it goes up from 47.5 cents to 90 cents per person. So that equates to about $156 per year per person to go number one, number two, and to take a shower every single day. Next slide, please. So we go to the 41 station. Oh, that shows you the 47.5 cents where it compares to the 90 cents. So if I can go to the next one. So if you go to the 41 site, it's going to cost us 75 cents to go number one, number two, and then take a shower every single day, which equates to about $100 per person per year. Next one. So if I convert that back to, again, to 47.5 cents, next slide. And I'm going to go through and show you if a family of three people live in a house, it's going to cost at the Chevron site $450 more and $300 more at the 41 site, which equates to about $1.23 per house per day, which basically equates to, on the 41 site, 82 cents per day that you're going to do number one, number two, and take a shower every single day. Do I have any more slides? No, that's it. And so that's what I wanted to present to you, to show you that how much more it's going to cost us to go to that presentation. I will stop at this moment. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And the next John. Good evening.
Good evening, board members and council members. My name is John Barta. You know, if I had a nervous problem and I needed brain surgery, I'd get a brain surgeon to do it, and I wouldn't do much second guessing about how they do it. I want the pros to do it, and I want them to do it right. Well, similarly, when a community wants to put a sewer system in, they have professionals. They have engineers and specialists that deal in these things, And our engineers and our specialists took a good close look at the situation, 41. That one costs about 50% more. And over the life, it will cost something like $89 million over the life of that plant. Not to mention that it puts it in the jurisdiction of the county, that it changes the whole way the thing goes forward, causing further delay, further costs that aren't even anticipated, I don't think. So the bottom line is, what would really be nice tonight, and I'd certainly really appreciate it, is if those folks who really pressed for all this extra study would say, you know, we meant the right thing, but now we've got the facts in front of us, and it turns out, you know, that you were headed in the right direction in the first place, and so let's just go in that direction. Let's all, you know, sing kumbaya and take care of what we know as adults we have to do. So I'd appreciate it if that would happen. I have to tell you, I doubt that will be the case, however. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you, John. Hi.
Welcome. Richard Sadowski, citizen, North Morro Bay. I'm a mechanical engineer by profession and also a certified wastewater collection system operator. Unlike most people in the community, I actually been in involved in this issue since 2003 when I worked at the Cayuta Sanitary District. And unlike the former speaker, there's issues here that are quite interesting with regards to staff. Last meeting we had staff, the same staff that's been hiring lobbyists and this board's been hiring lobbyists to fight the Coastal Commission on this issue. Just want to make it really clear, you're not building the plant on the beach. This isn't, you know, you were mayor last millennium. This is a new millennium. This is not going to happen. That plant has to be moved. There are grants available, ARRA grants that are available that will reduce the cost quite a bit. You got H2S problems in North Morro Bay that you're not addressing. That's going to be the air quality. That's going to be addressed by air quality. Now, your staff last time was involved in trying to dump brine out of the outfall. Your manager stated that you was going to just make a phone call. That didn't happen. It was ill-advised. That cost taxpayers money. It's a waste of money. Issues that we have with regards to the wastewater treatment plant with regards to flow, for instance, the joint powers agreement should be rewritten. We have state parks using our wastewater treatment facility. They're treated like a regular customer, like a hotel. They should be on the table. They should be involved. We have Cayuga Sanitary District, which the joint powers agreement was written by one of their board members that severely favors their side. For as far as the cost of operating that plant, I suggested that we put it in the Chevron site because it's centrally located and it eliminates that H2S problem. Now, I know about that H2S problem because I'm the one that tested the H2S gases there, and they're off the chart. Okay? This is a serious problem. That's just one issue. The other issue is our sustainable aquifers. I personally gave you a report, the nitrate study report, and further investigation with testing wells in the PG&E plant show that sewage is polluting our aquifer, and your staff is trying to blame farmers. Your staff is going to get you, could have gotten you in a whole lot of trouble if you approved that last agenda item that you heard at the last JPA regarding the brine issue. Suggest that you really take heed in what's going on.
Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. My name is Robert Stoller. I'm a farmer up on Highway 41. We raise avocados. This gentleman over here, they gave you a...
Bob, could you bring the mic?
Oh, sure.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Is that better? Yeah, this gentleman gave you a very, I would say, worthwhile analysis of the costs. And this reminds me of the expression that there are some people who know the price of everything and the value of nothing. What is this million gallons of water that we're discharging right now into the ocean worth? Is it worth a penny a gallon? If this were recharged into the very basins that supply the aquifers that we have in the Toro, Moro, Little Moro, and clear to San Bernardo by bringing it up to the top of the hill there and using the existing wells as a well field for recharge. This water would filter down and be usable then for whether it's for agriculture or the state water. This is a very valuable resource, and you can't consider this going anywhere except down because the Coastal Commission will just not allow it. Reclaimed water, water reclamation, it has to be part of this package.
The more we look into what's been going on, we now realize that Wallace Engineering put fill on the site that the new wastewater treatment plant was going to be moved to. It won't be built there. They put fill on there hoping that it would cure the tsunami zone and the 100-year floodplain. It didn't. I don't know. Constantly I come up here and it's, well, we have to listen to our staff. You might not trust them, but we have to. And, you know, they give us good advice. And Mayor Yates said, well, after all, who's going to put us in handcuffs when he first took the office here? This last, Mr. Sadowski was talking about the brine episode, that we have all this wastewater treatment plant up in the air. The flow chart for that, for the tasks that had to be done, weren't done in order. You know, they waited till the very last thing to do the EIR, which should have been done earlier on. So don't sit here, please, and blame the citizens that have been riding your tails and asking this board and the staff to start doing the right thing. You're the ones that are wasting the taxpayers' money. Lobbyists. Look at, we just keep getting more and more people. The last meeting we were at, the staff wanted to write a co-permittee for brine discharge from Grover Beach, trucking in brine, completely against the coastal development permit, completely against the NPDES permit, National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit. The days are gone when Morro Bay is just going to, like, thumb their nose at the Coastal Commission and do whatever they want and as an incorporated city. And I hope that the citizens here wake up to the fact that we're being taken really bad here. And
thank you, Marla.
That's all.
Thanks. Hi.
Hi, good evening. Bill Martini, Morro Bay. I'd like to talk a little bit about the cost because I think, you know, for everyone that's really big issue. If I'm not mistaken, the existing plant, when it was going to be moved sideways, you know, out of the flood or build up into the flood to get it out of the flood zone, I believe it was going to be $30 to $34 million, you know, to slide it sideways. I do know that when we were originally talking to PERC, and I know that's a long time ago, that they were talking of a plant from scratch for about $20 million that would totally recycle water, you know, state of the art. If we put that plant other than in the floodplain, I think they could possibly, or another company could possibly come through in that figure of around the $20 million figure. And so I think to move the plant, I don't know if it's going to cost you any more to move the plant to a different location than it is to actually build it where it's at. The infrastructure that you have there is strictly, it all flows into that area. To actually run a pipeline a half a mile behind town, I think, is a very minimal cost in the overall scope of $20 to $30 million. There was a site up Little Moro Creek that was redlined or not thought about. This is a Giannini property. It's probably a quarter mile as a crow flies from the plant. It's not prime ag. It's inside the city limits, so you would eliminate the county. I mean, it's a slam dunk. It's non-visual from Highway 1. I believe the consultant said it was visual, and they said it was prime ag, so they bumped it. But there are several sites that I believe are very excellent that were bumped. The land cost is some of these sites, it's probably nil compared to the overall. I mean, land now is, I shouldn't say giveaway, but it shouldn't be a factor on, you know, cost of the land itself. But getting back to the actual cost of building the plant where it's at, as opposed to putting it like up Little Morrow Creek or on Rigetti, I really don't think there's going to be that much difference in the actual cost. And, of course, the 800-pound gorilla is, no matter what we like, the coastal's sitting there with, and I'm not a coastal fan by far, but they're just going to come right around and do the same thing they've done to Los Osos. They're going to say, this is not going to fly, and more wasted time. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Hi.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jane Heath. I'm a citizen of Morro Bay. I live in North Morro Bay. I'm the first one to tell you I am not an expert on sewage treatment plants, no matter how many of these a believer in climate change or not. The facts are there. Seawater is rising. I'm very much concerned that if we build this plant now in the location that it's in, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, we're going to be here again, and then it isn't going to be a $50 million investment or a $30 million investment. It's going to be a $75 million investment, only we're going to do it twice. And that's what I would like you to really seriously consider as you look at these issues. If we move the plant, we have no problems with seawater rise. We have the ability to add other components such as, you know, reclamation of the water and, you know, and dealing with our biosolids right on the premises. If we give up that opportunity now, we're going to have to do it again, but we're going to do it again not voluntarily. We're going to do it because we'll lose the plant that we spent all this money building. Thank you.
Thank you. Who'd like to go next? You may follow.
Good evening, board members. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm the director of the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club. There should perhaps be slightly less focus on costs and more concern about what you need to do to get a coastal development permit, but let's talk about costs. Coastal staff has told you that your preferred project is, quote, located in a 100-year floodplain and tsunami inundation zone directly adjacent to an eroding shoreline where the sea level is rising and in an area subject to known seismic hazards, end quote. If any one of those threats becomes reality, the treatment plant located on that site will present your communities with costs in the form of cleanup and repair bills beyond anything being discussed here, as Ms. Heath has just ably pointed out. The consultant's analysis ignored this fact and also does not account for the potential windfall of providing Morro Bay with a public beach by removing a sewer plant from the Estero Bay waterfront and the subsequent boon to a tourism-based economy which that would provide. Your consultant admits that a sewer plant directly adjacent to ocean front is considered potentially inconsistent with LCP provisions for public access and recreation and policies protecting visual resources that include significant public views. And the report urges you to make additional effort to demonstrate consistency. We don't know what that means, and we don't think the Coastal Commission is likely to know what that means, especially when there will be alternatives before it that don't present those inconsistencies. Concerning the recent survey sent out seeking to determine if landowners would be interested in paying a very high estimated rate for water if reclaimed water were available for landscaping and irrigation, we assume there may be some hope here of presenting the inevitable response to that question to the Coastal Commission as a way of playing the get-out-of-recycled-water card. The ag community in Monterey and Santa Rosa initially was adamantly opposed to recycled water. Today, it's all that both treatment plants can do to supply the demand. Please be advised that negative survey results will be a moot point in any event. State law requires the use of recycled water over any other potable source for such purposes when such water is available, and Coastal staff has made it clear that recycled water should be part of this project. In the Los Osos sewer wars, even the fantastically intransigent County Public Works Department did not try to get around the recycled water requirement. They saw that writing on the wall, and they moved to comply. We suggest you do likewise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Christie. Hi.
Hi, I'd like to thank the JPA for the opportunity to speak this evening. My name is Jennifer Blonder, and I wear many hats, so I'm going to be speaking from a few different points of view. The first one is I am obviously a surfer, a member of Surf Rider, and I see actually a couple people sitting on this board that are surfers. Pretty tired of getting sick from the water, and it has happened to my friends. It happens down south, mostly where I'm at, because that's where I surf most, but I know it's been happening up here too. I've been getting reports of it happening here. So sewage in the water, bad idea. I know you guys treat it before it happens, I mean, before it goes into the water, but there are times when there are spills, and then there are fines involved. It's expensive, and it's not healthy. So just coming from that point of view. Also, I'm a teacher. And this is my class on my cup. You can't really see it. They're very cute second graders. And today we had a talk about how sewage systems work, and I was showing them the flow of how a sewage system works here in Morro Bay. And they said, ew, gross. Okay. And so, and I said, well, what could we do then? If it's a problem, what's the solution? And they came up with some really good solutions, which are already in place in Petaluma. They said, well, why can't we put the water somewhere else, like in a hole in the ground somewhere? And I said, oh, well, that's called ponding. And we do that. We can do that. And they said, well, why don't you tell them that, Ms. Blonder, when you go to the meeting? And the other thing was, why can't we make something with that? Why can't we use it for helping to recycle paper? You need water to recycle paper. Excellent idea, guys. These are second graders. And the third thing was, can we water golf? Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming down tonight. Who would like to go next? Anybody? Hi, Betty.
My name is Betty Winholtz. I would just like to repeat what was told to the consultants at the meeting a couple of months ago in Cayucas, that you have not done what the community said. The community said, we do not want this plant kept where it is, and yet you insist on keeping it there. You have treated the current site as though it's exceptional, and it doesn't have to follow the same rules that the other sites do. This site is similar to that at the power plant, and yet you dissed this power plant site when it's both still industrial. They're both close to the ocean. One already has an elevated area. The current site doesn't. Just an example of how you're not being, again, treating things equitably. My concern about the money is that we already paid $300,000 to one consultant to do an EIR study that was rejected by the Coastal Commission. Now we've paid another $300,000 to these consultants to do another study that's going to be rejected by the Coastal Commission again. And who's paying it? It's us. And so you've doubled the cost already without even getting us a site. You haven't talked technology. You haven't talked reclamation. I just am flabbergasted at how you're putting your heads in the sand.
Thank you, Betty. Hi.
Good evening. Barbara Doerr, Morro Bay, 310 Arcadia. I want to thank you for doing this study. I'm very happy it was done. I believe that alternative sites needed to be looked at. And also, as far as making the decisions for engineering and design, listen to the experts. For location, let the people, let the community choose the new location for a dirty facility. To begin with, the evaluation should have eliminated the current site or started the evaluation with a negative number due to fatal flaws, the 100-year flood zone, tsunamis, other hazards, and the non-coastal dependent use. Please take a closer look at the uses in areas surrounding the wastewater treatment plant and calculate acreage of current uses in the vicinity of the proposed new treatment plant to determine prevailing land uses in this area. Current uses include Lila Kaiser Park, the high school, motels, RV park, storage. The industrial uses in this area are minimal compared to the other uses. The city's general plan, LCP industrial use zone, should be eliminated and changed in this area to coastal dependent commercial and recreational uses. And the current wastewater treatment plant should be sold, and the profits come to the district to make it cheaper to do this. On page 71 in the report, you calculate the cost of purchasing land for sites 515 and 16 as 8.5 and 7.5 million respectively. However, you never include the proceeds of the sale price for the current treatment plant site, a valuable coastal resource. If site number one is developed for coastal recreation uses, it will bring revenues to the district for lease potentially, and sale of the land, and it will enhance the whole economic viability of the area in Morro Bay and bring in tax revenues to the city and property taxes to the county and others. None of the funding sources are included in Table 22's cost comparisons, these resources, these revenues coming in. Additionally, the environment will be greatly enhanced for the thousands of visitors to the motels, RV parks, beach, Lila Kaiser Park, and all of those high school students. The criteria the study utilized for the analysis included three categories: 40% for avoidance of environmental impacts, combined with consistency with LCP, 30% for project implementation, and 30% for economic factors. Category one should have been split. It should have been environmental, separate from consistency with the LCP. Please recalculate your final costs, include proceeds from the existing site and revenues to the local area and the district, and mathematically factor in the positive environmental improvements to the area, to our communities, due to the elimination of the current site and improved sites 15, 5, 15, and 16, where there's room for treatment plant expansion, reclaimed water programs, and many unknowns of the future. And that's all of it, and I will give this to whomever. Thank you for your time, and thank you very much for doing the study.
Who would like to go next? Good evening, Jack. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Jack McCurdy, a Morro Bay resident. I just want to remind everybody that the Coastal Commission letter to the city in November 2010 said a new draft environmental impact report must be conducted. What I need to know, and what the community needs to know, is the DUDEC scope of work or its alternative sites and the present site a perfect rating? Why? Because it was alleged the proposed site at the current site would have no permitting, planning, and development costs. None. That blows your mind. It just defies logic. And what's worse, there was no explanation for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Who'd like to go next? Hi, Barry.
Good evening. Barry Brannon from Morro Bay. I agree with these points. They're so eloquent, but the one that we haven't talked about, quite an article in the paper that the Labor Day weekend, the state water pumps failed, and the city of Morro Bay's backup system failed. And according to the report I read, we almost ran out of water Labor Day weekend, and we have no backup. Now, it seems to me very simple that if we had a recycled water program where we were putting water in the aquifer up Highway 41, and we had that aquifer full, it'd be a wonderful reservoir so that our residents or motel people, when they came Labor Day weekend, they could take that 47-cent shower. Because without water, there's no revenue to the motels, there's no revenue to the restaurants, there's no revenue for the service stations. And the water is the key to this. You can talk about costs, but without water, this is a desert. And the state water is not something we can depend upon. And you know it in your heart. So I ask you to please think about water, because that's the key.
Thank you, Barry. Anyone else? All right, I see we have several. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Dan Glessman of Morro Bay. And I just observed when I was reading the report that I didn't see a cost allocation for the financing of these various projects. So the more expensive it is, of course, the more financing will be involved. So that, I think, should be counted. And a certain amount of money has been already spent, I guess, on the existing site, which would be considered sunk, but you have to redo that. And on a lighter note, on the way in here, I found a piece of paper outside. Somebody dropped it, and I think they wanted it read. As you know, I've always been interested in controlling costs. After looking through the fine screening report, I have a solution on how to keep our sewer bills low instead of following the engineering firm's recommendations that the existing Atascadero roadside is the preferred location. I suggest you reject the idea and choose to build a new plant on the Chevron site 5/15. By the time you go through the land acquisition and permitting process, I'll be either drooling or dead, and I won't care how much my sewer bill will be. However, in the 10 to 15-year interim, I will enjoy lower rates because I won't be paying for a new plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Hi.
Good evening. Bob Doerr, resident of Morro Bay. There we go. You know, I could probably get up here and read out of the phone book, and it would have as much impact as what I'm going to say. But, you know, I'm sorry. But really, that's the feeling that I get. I think you people have made up your minds, and that's all we're going to get. So I guess we want to get up here and say a few things. But, you know, Los Osos is going through something here that's pretty traumatic, going from septic systems to a sewer system. But, you know, you notice they're not putting a sewer system right in Los Osos Valley Road and 9th Street. They're not putting it in the middle of their town. And you guys have an opportunity to eliminate the sewer system from our town. You do. Well, you folks, you know, it doesn't really bother you that much. Maybe it does you. But that's all I want to say is, why would you put it back in the middle of town? You know, I know it's a lot of money, and like the other gentleman said, you know, I'll probably be gone drooling before the rates go up so exorbitant that it'll really bother me. But, you know, think of the young people. You got to draw young people in this town. I don't think you should have a sewer plant right next to a high school, half a mile from the downtown district. You know. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doerr. Hi.
Good evening, Richard Markinson. That was a nice lead-in to what I was going to talk about. 8 years ago, Los Osos was inundated with Move the Sewer signs. We were told, can't move a sewer. It's the only place in the urban reserve line that you can put a sewer. We were the minority. But I'm responsible for the 800 signs that were put around Los Osos. And for 3 years, we were told repeatedly by the board, who are taking the same stance, we're the minority. We're the minority. It's coming. Barry's right. It is coming. And if you don't do it, this is deja vu for me. I mean, you're going down the same path that Los Osos did. And you delayed. They delayed. It's going to cost you more. You're in a window now of reduced construction cost. You should expedite moving it to another location, moving it away from the center of town. Or you're going to end up in a lawsuit. Somebody's going to sue. Somebody's going to sue, and you will have that delay. I personally don't believe the Coastal Commission is going to buy this report anyway, but that's a moot point at this point. Put a survey out in the community. See what the response is. An honest survey. Not one that's geared to the response you want to get. Put an honest survey out there. And that vocal minority in Los Osos ended up being over 85%. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi.
Council and board. My name's Dave Jewell. I'm a property owner at 297173 Hemlock. I'm also a government real property consultant. Good time to follow with this gentleman. I was involved in the purchase of the Tri-W site for the CSD. I worked with Bruce Buell. I saw that project from the get-go. That project was originally supposed to go underground at that site with sports fields over the top. It quickly changed. They lost the vision. You know what happened from there. I'm also involved with the county right now on the new site, the Giacomazzi site behind Morro Bay Cemetery. I saw the article in the Tribune this morning, so I quickly got online, started doing my research on this. And being a real property consultant and reviewing this screening analysis, It does not give much detail about increased property acquisition costs, such as the site costs. Where do the $7.5 million acquisition costs come from for the Rigetti property? Was a certified general appraiser, MAI, consulted? Okay. Are you looking at the fact that in this letter of offer to purchase, is he wanting to sell all 200 acres? You don't need all 200 acres. You only need the acreage for that project site. The report does not take into account that if the existing wastewater treatment plant is not in the 100-year flood zone or the tsunami surge zone, you have a prime piece of beachfront property. Do you really want to use it for a two-story wastewater treatment plant? My wife and I come up here. We enjoy coming up here. We participate in the Rock to the Pier Walk. My son's nice surf at the Rock. I hate to turn around or be walking up the beach and see a two-story wastewater treatment plant there. Okay? If you have this prime piece of property there, the analysis needs to look at the sale of that property to offset the purchase at either the Chevron or the Rigetti site. You can not only purchase that site, you could probably make a pretty good dent in the actual build-out of a new plant. So I would ask that you go back and look at this analysis. Ask Dudek to relook at the analysis. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, please. Thank you. Okay. Would you like to go next? Anybody? Hi.
Michael Lucas, Morro Bay. About a year ago, Ms. Johnson and I were on the Planning Commission and gave you the gift of telling you the Coastal Commission wouldn't accept this project. That was reversed. It seems like we're in Bill Murray's Groundhog Day. Here it is a year later. It seems like we're getting the same response. I guess you're going to have to get another version of it from the Coastal Commission. To consider this report as significant when it's completely flawed in terms of its life cycle costing strategies, to say that this is a valid report when it really does not adequately look at the nature of what we value in our property in terms of the nature of our coastal property versus a farm property up the stream, I think it's really going to come down to you're going to have to get version 3 till you understand that this is a very flawed process. And I don't know what's under the structure here that's supporting so many misguided principles. But from the simple...
Yukas for approval of this consent calendar.
I so move.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Harry Yates.
Thank you. Do we need a minute in the audience? If we could have silence, it would really help us out up here. Betty? Betty, can you help us out here? Thank you. Dennis, B1.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and good evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members, and Mr. President and District Board members. Item B1 is a status report on the project upgrade. During the past month, there were many activities, most of them centered around the draft fine screening site analysis. Another activity that occurred was a monthly force majeure status report was submitted to the Regional Water Quality Control Board. In addition to that, a reclaimed water survey was sent to potential customers as part of the water reclamation component of the analysis, and the survey deadline was on November 7th. Looking ahead, later on in the agenda, we have an item to request the JPA's authority to forward the fine screening site analysis document to the Coastal Commission. And we do have Also, the MBCSD staff and myself will be meeting with the Coastal Commission staff in Santa Cruz later this month. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Thanks. Questions for Dennis? Go ahead, Noah.
Thank you. My question is in regards to the lobbyist position. We anticipate keeping that contract suspended at this point?
At this point, it is still suspended, yes.
And if you could remind me, I believe the board said that you did not need board approval to renew or to activate that contract. Is that true?
That is correct. That's the way the board action and the minutes reflect that, yes.
Okay. Well, tonight I'd like to suggest that we remove that stipulation and bring the power back to the board to get board authorization before any lobbyist activity is resumed.
Could I get this? Either attorney. Either attorney will do. Can we take action on that?
No, that's not an agendized item. It's a standard Brown Act.
We would have to agendize that for the next meeting.
We can certainly add it to the next agenda.
Thank you.
Well, can we do a simple straw poll so staff can hear our preliminary comments on that so they could respect our wishes to not resume the lobbyist contract?
You see Rob there? Good evening.
Good evening. It's not an agenda item, so you wouldn't be able to deliberate on it and discuss it, even if it is a consensus. Just because you don't take a motion doesn't mean it wouldn't violate the Brown Act if you had that deliberation and discussion on that item. So I'd request that you set it as a future agenda item and do it that way.
Okay, so it appears, though, that it will not be activated this month, so we could have that discussion then before any action was taken. So I'll plan on bringing that up at future agenda items. Thank you.
Carla? Nancy? George?
Any comments from the CAICUS Board of Questions? Seeing none, Mayor Yates?
Okay, we don't need to take action on this, do we?
Thank you.
Nope. Okay, B1, Bruce. I'm sorry, B2, Bruce.
Good evening. The item before you is a consideration to discontinue the concept of brine disposal at the wastewater treatment plant. The last couple meetings we had brought the concept, we had been approached by CCWT in Arroyo Grande concerning disposing of brine through the ocean outfall at the wastewater treatment plant. We had done some preliminary investigation with the Regional Water Quality Control Board and had devised a way to permit such a discharge. Subsequent to those conversations, we had input from Coastal Commission staff, and in further review of the current coastal development permit for the existing treatment plant, we are unable to service or provide service for anybody outside of the Cayuca Sanitary District boundaries and or the city of Morro Bay. So at the present time, the concept of accepting brine from CCWT has been discontinued. We also discussed with Coastal Commission staff the concept of amending the current CDP app.
So moved. Second. Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
4-0. Mayor Yates.
Morro Bay, same motion.
Second.
Somebody has to say so
I'll
moved.
Make the same. So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We'll take a few-minute break. We'll come back for the main event. C1, Mr. Delzite.
Thank you. Item C1 is a presentation and discussion regarding the status of the draft alternative sites evaluation, phase two,
just
the fine
second,
screening
Dennis,
analysis.
Just a sec. Could we have silence, please? Thank you. Dennis.
Agenda item number C1 is a presentation and discussion regarding status of the draft alternative sites evaluation phase 2 fine screening analysis. The recommendation is to authorize staff to submit the alternative sites evaluation phase 1 and phase 2 rough screening and fine screening analysis associated and associated de novo review summary materials to the California Coastal Commission. A little bit of background. On March 11, 2011, the California Coastal Commission determined that there are substantial issues that exist with respect to the city's application for a coastal development permit. In essence, then, the Coastal Commission took over the coastal permit process at that time. The JPA subsequently solicited requests for proposals and selected DUDEC to provide the analysis that is required by the California Coastal Commission. The DUDEC project manager, April Winnecke, and her staff will present an overview of the draft fine screening analysis this evening. The analysis is still in the draft stage, and any comments received and directed by the JPA will be incorporated into the updated draft prior to submittal to the Coastal Commission staff. And again, we do have a meeting scheduled at the staff level with the Coastal Commission staff in Santa Cruz on November 28th. Currently, we do not know when the de novo hearing will occur. We are informed that it could occur either in February or in April. We'll be sure and give you an update when we get more information on that. That concludes my report. And if you're ready, April Winnecke of DUDEC is prepared to provide a slide presentation.
Great.
Thank you, Dennis. Any questions for Dennis before we give it to April?
Dennis, could you let us know where those hearings will be held?
Yes. It is anticipated that the hearings will be held either in Santa Cruz or Santa Barbara. That's where they're usually held. We are in what is called the Central Coast region, and the Coastal Commission purposely tries to schedule these meetings as close as they can to the location of the jurisdictions that are being considered on their agenda. But I will let you know, yes.
Anything else? Go ahead, Dennis. April.
Thank you, Dennis. Good evening, council members and board members. As Dennis mentioned, my name is April Winnecke, and I'm the project manager for the alternatives analysis and Coastal Commission appeals analysis work plan. With me tonight is Allison Evans and Tom Falk on my right, and we also have Rick Gorman of Earth Systems Pacific here to assist with answering questions. So just going back really briefly, of course, in December 2008, there was the settlement agreement with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And as you can see, 2011 has been a very busy year. Earlier this year in January, of course, the final EIR and the coastal development permit were approved. Appeals were filed. And as Dennis mentioned, in March, the Coastal Commission found that those appeals raised substantial issue and asserted jurisdiction over the coastal development permit. In June, we kicked off the work plan, and that was initiated with two public workshops that were held on June 27th and June 28th. At these workshops, the public had an ability to review the proposed work plan and to identify potential alternative sites that we would be looking at for rough screening purposes, and to provide comments on the preliminary screening criteria that were identified at that time. On August 25th, 2011, additional technical studies that were identified by the Coastal Commission as required for them to conduct their de novo review for the project. Phase one was completed. We prepared the draft rough screening evaluation. That included, as I mentioned before, the fatal flaws assessment. There were 17 sites that were evaluated. In that assessment, initially, seven of those sites were dismissed as having fatal flaws. In response to Coastal Commission comments, we incorporated one additional site back into the rough screening, and so 11 total sites were analyzed. We are currently in the process of conducting phase two, the draft fine screening alternative sites evaluation. This includes a total of three sites, an additional technical study. In addition to the specific coastal hazards assessment that the Coastal Commission specifically requested. Next steps would be to prepare for the Coastal Commission de novo review process. This includes preparing the final Coastal Act and LCP consistency analysis based on the alternative sites evaluation, additional technical study. And this is something that we will be doing in conjunction with Coastal Commission staff, taking into consideration their feedback and their comments. And then, of course, as Dennis mentioned, we'll be looking at a presentation to the Coastal Commission hearing in February or April of 2002. This is the work plan. We've all seen this one quite often. So this was the work plan that was presented to the JPA and Coastal Commission staff. We are currently, if I can get my pointer going, we're currently right here in the process, wrapping up the alternatives analysis and additional technical study and intending to submit that to Coastal Commission staff for de novo review. The fine screening analysis, as I mentioned, moved forward with three sites. The existing site located at 160 Atascadero Road in the city of Morro Bay, sites 5 and 15. This is a site. This site was initially identified as two separate sites. We combined them for purposes of fine screening analysis. The site is located on the northeast of Highway 1 at Toro Creek Road. And Site 16, which we call the Rigetti property, this site is located off of Highway 41. Both sites 5 and 15 and 16 are located in the county of San Luis Obispo. The fine screening analysis is based on a combination of environmental policy, project implementation requirements, and economic factors. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Allison, and she's going to speak to the methodology.
This map just indicates the location of the sites that were assessed as part of the fine screening. And just for reference, all of the graphics are available on the city's website. All of the DUDEC work plan, the reports themselves are available for a review. We know that it's very hard to see these graphics at this scale. I'm going to briefly go through what the criteria weighting and site evaluation methodology consisted of. This criteria was grouped into three topical issue areas, and we did weight them out of a possible 100%. The first group was the avoid and minimize environmental impacts and LCP policy consistencies. And based on comments received both as part of the staff report and in conversations with coastal staff, we determined it should receive the highest weighting out of the three groups for 40%. Project implementation was important and raised in comments from resource agencies. And then we also heard from the public, economics are a big consideration. And so we determined that both project implementation considerations and economic factors should be given equal weighting of about 30% apiece. There were 14 total criterion assigned. Each one of these was then provided a sub-weighting factor between 2% and 10% of the total. There was a criteria handout that was provided both at the public workshop in September and then also available online during the public review process. And based on comments received, we did change weighting. At one point, we were looking at providing equal weighting across the board for each of the criterion, but we did assign different percentages based on the comments received. And then finally, as part of the evaluation, and that's chapters sections 1 through section 3, section 1 looks at site 1, the current WWTP, site 5 and 15, the Chevron facility is located in the report in section 2, section 3 is the Rigetti property, or site 16. We provide a more detailed analysis of each of those sites in those sections, and then in section 4 we summarize the results and tabulate them in a ranking table. The ranking 1 to 5, 1 being the least likely to conform because there is no feasible conditions that can be applied to avoid a environmental project implementation or economic factor, 5 being the highest level of conformance, there are no resources found on site, for example, 3 being there is feasible mitigation or conditions of approved other disposal options, such as live stream discharge. We also look at the settlement agreement schedule and requirements. We do look at a detailed project schedule to determine what additional infrastructure would be required, any regulatory permits and approvals, and whether there's the potential for hazardous remediation and site reuse, and then ease of property acquisition, the availability of the land, easements and encroachment permits that may be required for the facilities, conveyance facilities themselves. Under the economic factors criterion, we look at minimizing capital costs. So we're looking at the wastewater treatment facilities themselves, the site work that would be required, earthwork, geotechnical grading, the need for off-site conveyance facilities and the cost of constructing such, as well as the extended preventative maintenance of the existing plant while going through the process of constructing a plant elsewhere in order to maintain operation at the current site until the new plant would be operational. We also look at minimizing operating costs, and we use a 30-year time frame and look at operations and maintenance. And then finally, we look at minimizing project delivery, or what we call soft costs, and these are all your planning, permitting, design, and property acquisition costs. I do not anticipate anyone can read this, but just so you know, this is all, these tables on the next few slides are located in Section 4 of the report. These are tables 23 through 25, and then the final ranking is table 26. Again, just very briefly to kind of get our bearings, the top line of the table looks at the topical resource issue groupings. You have the criterion identified in the next line underneath that. The ranking from 2 to 10% is then identified in the row following. A very brief analysis of the evaluation, which is presented in greater detail in sections 1 through section 3 of the report, is provided in the following row. And then you have a ranking from 1 to 5, and then the actual numerical factors are provided at the end. So this was site 1. Preliminary results. Site 515, we did the same exercise, and also for site 16. Again, these tables are in greater detail in the actual report itself. The summary of the table, so the bottom line of each one of those, is presented in this, and what the results were, you know, what was fairly obvious in conducting this analysis is that all sites were equally balanced in regards to avoiding and minimizing environmental impacts and LCP consistency analysis, where the greatest difference started becoming apparent was in the actual implementation of the project and in the application of economic factors. And I'm going to forward that to Tom to speak to a greater level of detail.
Thank you, Allison. So, I'm going to go through a few slides here, present some of the basic findings, preliminary findings we have with regards to project implementation and the economic factors. So, again, for project implementation, we were looking at the ability of an alternative at any of the three sites to be able to comply with the MPDS and other discharge permit requirements, the ability of or the timeline and schedule for implementation of a project at any of the three alternative sites, and then of course property acquisition and those considerations. So preliminary findings were that all three of the sites were can feasibly accommodate a project that would be that would comply with MPDS water quality and basin plan requirements, whether they were discharging to the ocean or to some alternative disposal location. 515 and 16, those two sites would necessitate development of a regional salt and nutrient management plan that would be an additional permitting requirement permitting process that would be triggered by relocating the site. Site 1 is the only site we believe that could achieve full compliance with the settlement agreement, including the timeline that's laid out in that agreement with the JPA and the Regional Water Quality Control Board. Looking at completion dates, Site 1, there is obviously a delay with this de novo hearing and associated with the process for developing a project at Site 1, but we are anticipating that that project could be implemented and constructed by the end of 2015. sites 515 and 16 would have a much longer planning, permitting, design, construction period, stretching out into 2023 and potentially 2022, respectively. Property consideration, site one, obviously the city owns that property, and so no acquisition would be necessary. 515 and 16 would both require acquisition and design process at one of the other two sites. As noted earlier, brought up by public comment was the property acquisition line items, and it is noted that we have not included in this summary the net benefit or the cost of reusing site one for another site. However, that is addressed in the report in section one on pages 24 and 26, and we did identify a potential value of that property for other beneficial uses on the order of $1 to $3 million. So just for reference and comparison to what the three project alternatives. So next up, so all the discussion so far has been with respect to the fine screening analysis and looking at alternative sites. However, one of the other substantial issues that was raised was the use of was update of a recycled water feasibility study. So I'm going to go over a little brief overview of what's been accomplished so far. The last formal review of recycled water feasibility was completed in 1999. That report identified 40 potential users and suggested a two-phase project that would deliver up to approximately 435 acre feet per year. The cost estimated back in 1999 for those two projects was approximately $3,300 an acre foot. And I'm going to present some updated costs here in a couple slides. So just for comparison purposes, if you were to escalate the 1999 cost estimate to our current, we're using September 2011 dollars, that would be about a $4,900 an acre foot cost. There is effort underway to update the customer list. It's noted that several of the potential users that were identified in the 1999 study have since been switched to other non-potable sources, so they're not actually on potable water supply at this point in time. We've started to receive some customer some input from the customer survey that was put out, and we also have solicited public input at the three public workshops that were held over the last several months. What we've done so far now, then, taking the next step, was identifying three distinct service areas where we could potentially use recycled water. Service area one was defined as the city of Morro Bay, constituting primarily landscape irrigation and a couple of industrial uses. Service area two had the highest potential demand, and that we're calling the Highway 41 Agricultural Corridor. And then service area three was the Cayucas area, service area also primarily landscape irrigation and industrial uses. The water reclamation economic feasibility factors, what we find commonly in water reclamation programs, and it held true for this project as well, the production cost, so the cost to treat and produce the water, delivery cost, the conveyance pipelines to get the water to the point of use, and the those are the two main factors that account for the cost of water reclamation. And then to make a water reclamation program feasible, you have to consider the availability and cost of alternative water sources. Some considerations, small remote users typically cannot be served cost effectively, and for any water reclamation program, the economy of scale is critical. The more large users that you have, the more economically viable it is to produce recycled water and implement a program. And then the next slide I'm going to talk about is fail-safe disposal, which is a key component to any recycled water program. So this is the blue lines indicate potential seasonal demand for recycled water. And what we've done so far is assume that all identified users would be able to and willing to accept and connect to a recycled water system. if it was implemented. And the red line that stretches right around the middle of the page is the design capacity of the treatment plant. So that's 1.5 MGD. That's the average daily flow rate. That's the water that would be available for a water reclamation system. You can see a good part of the year there the demand exceeds the supply. However, there is about the other half of the year there would not be enough demand to completely offset the supply, which requires then some other method of disposal, be it through ocean outfall, stream discharge, or some very large volume of storage until such time as it could be used. So preliminary findings, like I just demonstrated with the previous graph, fail-safe disposal is necessary. Cost came out to, what we did then, so we looked at the three alternative sites and evaluated the cost of recycled water delivered to the three service areas and all combinations of different service areas. We concluded that a water reclamation program was not site-dependent. The cost impact between any of the three treatment plant sites, did not have a significant impact on the cost of water reclamation or recycled water. This final table here shows the cost of our calculated cost of recycled water compared to other water supply sources in the area. Currently, the city and the district rely on state water project water, imported water. And the city also has a brackish water and seawater reverse osmosis desalinization project, as well as local wells. So we're anticipating recycled water costs to be in the range of $2,500 up to, in an extreme instance, well over $25,000 an acre foot. That would be a scenario where there was very, very few users in a remote distance. So from there, I'm going to turn it back over to April and conclude.
Thanks, Tom. So I just want to briefly talk about next steps, and I want to say thank you to the public again for showing up and providing us your comments. We will be taking those comments and forwarding them on to the Coastal Commission staff, and also note that all the comments received previously at public workshops and in writing are included in the appendices of the rough screening and fine screening analysis, so we are doing the best we can to make sure that we're compiling all the public comments received and forwarding those on to the Coastal Commission staff. In addition, as we did with the rough screening analysis, Appendix A of the fine screening analysis attempts to provide topical responses to the major themes that we heard from the public during the 30-day public comment period that was held on the rough screening analysis and the screening criteria for the fine screening analysis. So next steps, we anticipate and hope that we'll receive authorization to make the submittal to the Coastal Commission so that they can start their de novo review process. We do expect that our work is not over and that Coastal Commission staff will have lots of comments and questions about the draft findings that we've put together. And so we anticipate that these documents are going to be living documents, and we will be revising and updating and supplementing information in response to their comments to try to bring you to that de novo hearing early next year. So in that regard, the public comment period and public input also is not over. They will be receiving public comments. In our discussions with Coastal Commission staff, we would like to, in order to keep the process as transparent as possible and make the information as readily available to the public as possible, when we do produce a supplemental work product or make a substantial revision to the information that's been developed, we'd like to post that information on the city website so that the public will have an ability to see everything as it's being exchanged and produced for Coastal Commission staff. As Dennis mentioned, we do have a meeting with them on November 28th to get their preliminary feedback, and we anticipate they'll have lots of feedback for us, and hopefully we'll have a preliminary hearing date at that time. So that concludes our presentation, and we're here to answer any questions and take comments that you have. Thank you.
Good job, April and Allison and Tom. Questions, comments? Carla?
Oh, you can public comments.
Right. you have an opportunity before public comment.
Yeah, I would just like to ask a follow-up question to what you described there as far as the process with Coastal. And I appreciate that your intent is to keep that as transparent as possible. And would that also include Coastal's direct correspondence? So besides our updates, you would also make available Coastal's comments to us, as we have in the past?
Well, I think, of course, any formal comments in writing, but I think it would be very labor-intensive to try to produce all dialogue and discussion with Coastal Commission staff on this work product.
But their written comments to us would be made available as public record?
Sure. I think that's an important part of the public record. If we receive a written comment letter from them, an official letter, we should post it to the website.
And then for tonight's comments, those are going to be summarized as well, the public comments made tonight?
We will summarize them, yes.
All right. Those are my questions for now.
Go ahead. Cayucas, any questions at this time? Seeing none, Mayor Yates.
Well, if any of you would like to comment on this, if you didn't comment before, you're welcome to come up.
This is a different central vision, and they're talking about the EIR. The point is that the Coastal Commission believes that Site 1 does not comply with the LCP, and so when you tell us that it does, the conflict needs to be resolved, and I guess that the arbiter will be the Coastal Commission, but it doesn't make sense. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Anybody else?
I just have a question on interaction with Coastal.
Come on up.
Thank you. I'm Barbara Doerr, Morro Bay resident, property owner. Just a question regarding you mentioned that written correspondence from the Coastal Commission would be, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Would be public. But my concern is that if Dudek and Company et al., if they meet with Coastal staff and there's a work product that's they're asked to produce in an oral request, it's going to cost the district money. It's going to cost the taxpayer money. Then I would think that should be known to the public also, whether it's in an update from the consultant to the boards saying that Coastal Commission has requested that we prepare the following documents, which will be part of the contract with Dudek. I would say that kind of action, which is going to cost money, should be the public should be informed of, and it should be on the city's website.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll just
go
out on a limb here and answer, of course. Yes. Anybody else? Okay.
I was just using my phone calculator, and
you'd state your name for the record, please.
Oh, sorry, Richard Margetson, Cayucas. I'd like a better explanation of the potential $25,000 cost for recycled water, because for 1,000 acre feet, that would be $25 million. I'd seriously like the explanation how you come up with that number. And, you know, if it's part of the scare tactic again, of not doing what's going to be required, let's at least be realistic. And then there was a mention of a cost associated with keeping the current plant running while an alternative plant site was being constructed. Won't you have that with the current site? Won't a project be constructed at the same time the plant will have to keep running at the current site? So I'd like some clarification on that. Also like some clarification on why there's an 8 to 9 year difference in final construction of the new wastewater plant at the current site and the two alternatives. Why it would take 8 to 9 years of additional work. Los Osos is installing a whole infrastructure and wastewater project in an entirely new location. It's not taking anywhere near that long. And maybe some more discussion or some looking into the possibility of the injection wells, using injection wells instead of, you know, instead of worrying about the salt loading factor for the avocado farms. And then if you decide to move this forward tonight, is that the official deadline for public comments to be incorporated with the fine screening report? Because I think the Coastal Commission may have a problem with you making these decisions with one meeting and cutting off the formal public comment process to be incorporated with the document.
Thank you. I saw you writing there, April, so I'm counting on you on that one when we come back. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the joint board. Can you help me out with it? Because I didn't write him down, Mr. Markinson's last group of questions. There was one I will address, and that is the length of time. We have said over and over, if we move this, I think I've thrown out the 10 years. They said 7 to 9. It's going to take a lot longer. I don't think it's fair to say that Los Osos is moving along quicker. In 1988, I wrote a three-part story on the Los Osos sewer saga, 1988, and it was old then. The Los Osos sewer process has been going on for well over 30 years, over 35 years. Sorry, I'm just, Mr. Markinson, could you address the $25,000 per acre foot?
Yeah, that is explained in the study. And at 1,000 acre feet, you'd have an economy of scale. You wouldn't be anywhere near the $25,000 an acre foot. That was an extreme example. You had very few customers, and you had to deliver water a very far distance. So in reality, we'd be closer to the $2,500 to $3,000 an acre foot cost.
Thank you.
So there was an iteration. There was a number of different alternatives we looked at.
Thank you. Any follow-up here? What's that with you, George? Noah?
Yeah, I would. I think Mr. Markinson's question was in regards to how to formally introduce more comments to this report through this process, not directly to the Coastal Commission. So if you could describe the window for the comments to be included in this report, that would be helpful. I think that would answer his question.
Sorry if I misunderstood that. After this evening, the intent is for, and this is according to the work plan, is that we would be responding to Coastal Commission staff comments at that time. And so, again, if there are public comments after this evening, unless a different decision is made, obviously, by the boards or staff, the intent is to move this forward to Coastal Commission, let them initiate their NOVA review period, and during that time, respond to their comments. And they, of course, will be taking public comments. So if there are public comments that are received by Commission staff and they feel it's appropriate for us to revise the materials in response to those, we will do so.
So in regards to the concern that I think was raised and I think is warranted, with respect to the Coastal Commission and the board that has already given us pretty clear comments up to this point, it appears we're poised to resubmit the same plan that we originally submitted to them. And that is looking like we're on the same track we've always been on. And I think the public's concern is we haven't changed course at all. We've developed some information, but what's going to happen when we turn that information back in? And I think the root of that concern is how much more resources are we going to spend developing that information and trying to pursue this process? So one question I'd like to find out, if possible, is can we informally interact with the Coastal Commission staff and do something more along the lines of requesting their feedback initially on this before we engage in the de novo hearing process, allow some more time for some public comments, and develop this plan a little more based on what Coastal Commission's response is to this information? Because currently it does appear like we're still on the same track that wasn't received favorably last time. I know we have some information that the conclusions that are made from this report seem to address Coastal Commission's concerns, but you hear the comments tonight, and they're going to be heard by the Coastal Commission staff themselves and the commissioner. So I'm very concerned that we are basically on a crash course to repeat the same situation that we are already in and spend more time, spend more money, and ultimately end right back at this place. So how can we avoid that problem and get some preliminary feedback from the Coastal Commission staff and try to avoid that situation?
Don't know if I'm the right person to be answering this question. We will receive preliminary feedback from them at our meeting on November 28th, and I think at that juncture we'll have a better understanding as to whether or not they feel like they can support the proposed project moving forward for the de novo review. If they are looking at the materials that we've provided them and they feel like, number one, the materials are just so incomplete that they can't initiate de novo review, that's one thing. If they're looking at the materials and they think that the materials are complete, but it's not enough information for them to determine consistency with the city's LCP, they will inform us of that. And we're hoping that that's the feedback that we'll get November 28th. Of course, nothing is set in stone until you receive the staff report. But I think at that juncture, we can evaluate where we're at. Any other course of action at this point in time would be modifying the approved work plan. And in my opinion, that's a decision that you would have to bring back to the JPA to determine what course of action should be taken.
Okay. So given that, I'd like to suggest that tonight we don't approve this draft in the form of a submittal to the Coastal Commission and de novo hearing, but we actually do continue the process where we have our meeting later this month and we come back to the board with Coastal Commission's comments and allow an extended time frame for further public comments, and then we really do make the decision.
Sure. But unless, and I could be wrong, it wouldn't be the first time, my understanding was that the request from the Coastal Commission that it wasn't a direct denial of this location or this plan, but it was a request that we study and investigate other locations for this, which looks to me like we've done, you know, with 15 and down to 3, you know, for the fine screening. Am I right or am I wrong, please?
Yes, you are correct in your understanding of what the Coastal Commission asked for.
Thank you very much. That's it for now. I'll save my comments and comment.
You can come back as many times as you like. Noah did that once before. Carla, of course you will. No. Did I ask you, George? Are you cool? Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. And I'm happy that we've pursued this because obviously we had to with Coastal Commission. It's good to see some additional information to help us review the options. We heard tonight some very, I think, poignant discussion from the public about how this report has evaluated some of the information and obviously questioning the conclusions of this report. And there are some specifics in there that I'm looking forward to hearing our responses to, such as the real estate appraisal and acquisition costs. Some of those seem very much out of scale from what we're seeing around the county. And I think those concerns and others have created a bias that is fairly clear to many, many members of the public and to myself. And my concern is that we can arrive at this conclusion and the Coastal Commission can arrive at a completely different conclusion. So that's why I'm trying to temper our path with some preliminary feedback from them before we just jump right in. And I think that will give us the chance to gauge whether they agree with this or not, because we don't know at this point. So I think the suggestion of trying to bring this back at the December 8th meeting helps us do that.
May I respond?
You may.
I think we've done what they asked to be done. Whether I think it's a good report. But other than that, there's a meeting the 28th of November. We send this to them. They decide whether it's what they want or not. If it's partially not what they want, they'll let us know. There's no question about that. And at that point, if necessary, we can have a December 8th meeting and talk about it. But to me, I think it's important at this point to send it on and let the de novo process start. And I'm sorry, but I think it's a good report. I'm not sorry.
Are you still good? Carla?
I'm just going to back up Nancy's comments that I'm ready to to let this vet through the Coastal Commission process and not keep prolonging, you know, the process that they've asked us to go through and take it from there. It's interesting for me, some of this, it's irrelevant, but this location, this site location was fine before. Nobody had a concern about this location when they wanted perk water there. So it's kind of interesting that it's not okay now.
Well, I agree. We just need to get this process moving. And like was repeated here, we've done what they asked us to do. So let's let the Coastal Commission make up their mind, and we'll go from there.
You want to say something to finish this?
Sure. There's a couple of things that I would like to see responded to. One is the Site 5, the Chevron site, was dismissed in the fine screening in the same way that it was dismissed in the rough screening. And I felt like the board was clear that we wanted that to be analyzed. And my assessment is that it wasn't. It was we were given the same reasons. And I don't quite agree with those reasons not to at least have analyzed Site 5, the Chevron near coast site, not the inland site, which from discussions with Chevron, pretty clear that the inland site's not something that we want to pursue because they're ready to fight us on that. But the Site 5 was open to discussion. So I think it was disappointing that that wasn't at least pursued further. Obviously, I want to see a better review of those acquisition costs. And, you know, the letter from the property owner at Rigetti, we haven't seen that. I think that needs to be in some way made public. Is that $7.5 million? Is that his asking price? You know, where did that number come from? And I think... Let me go directly to that page.
It didn't sound like a question, Bella.
We've got, it's the last paragraph on page 26. It says, in order for the wastewater treatment plant to be viable for lease to the Morro Dunes RV park, decommissioning and demolition of the current wastewater treatment plant would need to occur. That's obvious. It says that cost range would be $1.35 million, and with the average annual rent revenue associated with the trailer park to be expected to be $100,000. So what we're saying is that the cost of clearing that site is not, it doesn't calculate for us to receive that. That revenue doesn't really help us, is what you're telling us. But we're going to need to clear that site anyway. So I felt like when we tried to calculate the potential revenue of an alternative use there, we kind of dismissed that revenue stream. And that's where the net overall costs and life cycle costs would be helpful to see instead of the gross number. So I'd really like to see that vetted out more because we haven't seen that yet. And it's pretty clear we're going to be paying money to clear the site no matter what happens. The other thing that is frustrating is that we're still not talking with the GHG, greenhouse gas emissions. We haven't discussed at all the potential of a site that has larger space opportunities and the potential to renew our composting operation, to have a renewable energy component. These are things that have been cut from the proposed operations because of the small site that we're working with on the coast. So it would be nice to see some discussion about what additional space at an alternative site gives us in ability for treatment and to remove things such as a second story on our operations center. You know, those are values that haven't been included. So that would be important to be discussed. And generally, things like within aesthetics, it was frustrating to see Rigetti dinged for odors when the existing site really wasn't. These are just inconsistencies that I think are going to shine out as we pursue this in the Coastal Commission. You have to think that public testimony is only going to get larger as we go into the Coastal Commission hearings, and I don't think that's going to look good for our chances when the commissioners are hearing this sort of testimony. The other thing that's interesting I'd like to hear discussed a little bit as we get a report about this reclamation study is there is information that Monterey is charging approximately $400 per unit, whereas we've already suggested to any potential users of that water that we're going to be in the $2,000 range. And that seems like an odd way to begin a discussion when we're looking to develop a partnership. We're basically leading with, hey, we're going to be charging 3 to 4 times what other communities have charged and obviously what you're currently paying. So I would like to hear how we really got to that $2,000 and why you're seeing other communities being able to charge much less for that water, and also how we could calculate the benefits to our community for Morro Bay specifically for that water reuse component. It obviously would benefit the farmers, but there's got to be some analysis about how that would be valued for the Morro Bay community. And that'll be my comments for now.
Thank you, Noah.
Bob.
Thank you. Michael, we'll start with you.
Okay. Just a couple of comments on things that I've heard from Morro Bay. This 7 to 9 year time frame on acquisition of a new site, I don't know whether that's true or not, but by selecting a site that's outside of the purview of the Coastal Commission, think of how much time might be saved going through these Coastal Commission appeals, which is part of the Chevron site. So could very well be that a site at the Chevron location outside of the Coastal Commission could be done faster than what the existing site is. Also, the in evaluating and cost comparing, the cost of Coastal Commission compliance isn't figured into this. Surely there would be an element of savings in selecting a site that isn't full of the Estero Bay. We've heard testimony that that location has been of cultural importance to the Chumash people for as long as memory goes. And now we've spent another $350,000, and we've come to the conclusion that that is the best site in the service area to locate the wastewater treatment plant. And, you know, it's like, it just is, it just seems illogical to me. And I think the reason why is because in your evaluation criteria, only 8% of the decision making is based on coastal hazards. And, you know, I'd like you to think about that for a minute. When you do an economic analysis, if a tsunami came along and this community were without a treatment plant for a year or two, what would be the economic cost of that event? I mean, it would be catastrophic, and it's very difficult to quantify. But still, you know, economic analysis has to include those, you know, risk-adjusted computations, which aren't in this. I'm sure if you ask the people of Fukushima, Japan, whether the cost of locating those nuclear plants 50 feet higher, you know, in hindsight, would have been worth whatever additional cost it was, they'd probably give you a different answer now than they did 30 or 40 years ago. And I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I just think that that is that's relevant to our talk. And that's I do believe that I do intend to. I see no point in delaying the deal. I do support simply providing this to the Coastal Commission and proceeding with a de novo hearing. Although I have doubts about the conclusions that you've reached in the study. Thanks.
Because I'm losing my voice, but I think it's a good in-depth report. I think that we've certainly had a lot of public comment that's going to be included in the data going to the Coastal Commission, and I think that we should just pass this on to the Coastal Commission tonight. Say we're not approving it. We're not saying anything other than the report's been filed, and we'll get their comment at the 28th meeting. Sorry, I can't.
Thank you, Shirley. Hal?
There we go. Good job. I wish I had something worth saying, but actually I think there's been a lot of good ideas put out here tonight. I came here to listen and to try to arrive at some rational conclusion with all of these comments. The possibilities of tidal waves and floods and so forth, they are anywhere you go. Some places more than here, but I think our site is probably the best. However, if they took the treatment plant out of that site, we still got a rock operation down there, a commercial area. We have the trailer park. We have all sorts of things that are really not what you'd call prime beach operations. And so what is the site worth if we try to sell it? I don't think it's worth that much, really. But thank you. I'm here to listen, and I'll do some more.
All right. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for their comments tonight. I would highlight some of the comments that were made in this report. There's a whole section in here about tsunamis and the estimated height of tsunamis and the estimated height of sea level rise on top of tsunamis and the site elevation and the new FEMA. Mary Yates, how long have you and I been working on this site and this plan?
Around
20 right now. Moving the site means a property purchase, perhaps a willing seller. Perhaps not. The other sites that are identified are in the county. Now we're dealing with a completely different agency with different ideals and priorities. We'd have to have a new plan, new facilities master plan. We'd have to start all over. We'd have to have a new EIR. We'd have to have all this public comment again. I'm sure we'd have a lot of fun listening to everything we did wrong on the new site. Carla's comment about, well, it's okay to have this put the plant on the site as long as PERC did it. But when it wasn't PERC, then now here's all the problems with this site. We need to move it. So we'll have a new site, and then there will be 100 reasons why we shouldn't build it there. We'll have to have new engineering. Rick Gorman gets another job to go drill holes and tell us about liquefaction and some other things that we may or may not know about. We'll need a new archaeological study. We'll need a new other hazard study, if Toro Creek is going to overflow in the 100-year floodplain, and on and on and on. And finally, it's going to come down to what we've referred to as NIMBY, not in my backyard, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't want this thing anywhere near what I'll call the Highway 41 entrance into Morro Bay. You're arriving in Morro Bay after driving across from Atascadero, and the first thing you see is a sewer treatment plant, and welcome to Morro Bay. It could be right out there by that sign that says welcome to Morro Bay. So I'm not sure we've really thought this through, and I'm not sure you wouldn't hear just as many comments on these other two alternative sites. And I just feel that DUDEC did a fabulous job here. My final comment is that, and I had teased our attorney, Tim, that I didn't know that Hanson Aggregates had a middle name, but DUDEC does. So if you have some reading you'd like to do, then come back and tell me what Hanson Aggregates' middle name is. Thank you.
I'm ready to make a motion, if I may.
I'd like to. There's a couple of comments I'd like to respond to.
I'm sure you do, Noah.
Thank you. Mr. Enns, I wasn't suggesting that we do not interact with Coastal Commission. I do believe we need to and hold them very close as obviously the key partner in this project. We cannot succeed with this project if our relationship is strained or not going straight forward with comments to them. The other thing is about the time frame and your concerns about this extending on. I think Los Osos and the process that we've seen with the county so far is an example of how to actually take care of developing a plan and implementing a plan. They had some advantages with a design collection system, but their program is on track to be completed. And you see that it also includes a collection system, which ours doesn't. So I think it's possible, but it's not possible if you are concerned or afraid of the little details that obviously need to be evaluated, but if they're dismissed outright, we're not giving a chance to even look at these options and consider them. And this is the only time we can affordably look at these alternative options. With the investment of a site at this current proposed beachfront area, we're not turning back. And I'm pretty sure, actually, Coastal Commission's not going to allow us to build on that site. But even if they did, we can't turn back now. So there will be some costs, obviously, on the front end to move the site, but there are a lot of values that are intriguing that, on the common sense scale, look to be valuable for the long-term impacts of this project, the durability of this project. And I think it's not fair to the future generations to say that, well, we don't have the time, we don't have the resources to consider these options. So the other thing that I think is really important is right now it seems like we're focusing on the current existing conditions and requirements that are currently on us. And those conditions are existing water supply and so on, and requirements are the existing state and federal regulations. But you see the trend of increased regs and lessened water availability and increased cost of energy. And right now, we're force-fitting a plant into a very constrained site that doesn't give us flexibility to evolve with increased regulations and further environmental restrictions and constraints on the community. So it's hard to...
Fine. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries 4-1. Bob.
Cayuca, same motion.
Second. I didn't make a motion. But you're pretty quick there, I'll say that. I think we've heard a lot of stories here tonight, and there are many concerns that haven't been answered, but we have to move ahead. They told us to investigate other sites.
We have done that. Let's send this on. Therefore, I move that we ask the staff to send these alternate site studies onto the coastal committee.
Just to clarify, we want to be sure that's the same motion that
yes,
Mary.
Yes, it is the same motion.
Very good. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to second. So just as by way of comment, I would say that I suppose my first visits to Morro Bay were sometime in the early 50s, and it wasn't until late in my Cal Poly career that I found out where this sewer treatment plant actually is located. And that wasn't for lack of not getting out and getting around. Any other comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. 4-0.
Okay. C2. Scheduled the next joint meeting. You know, let's wait on that as we do normally. Is there a mood here to schedule a meeting? We've never done that before.
We have, actually, and I suggest that we schedule the meeting for December 8th, as our routine is the second Thursday of the month.
The routine of the last year has been to have a meeting if there's business and to not have a meeting if there's not business. That's been the routine.
Obviously, we're going to want to hear a report about this later this month's meeting with Coastal Commission staff. We need to be updated on what the comments of that were. I couldn't understand why we wouldn't want to hear that publicly.
Nor me. No, of course not.
And then also, I think it's important that we do have the reclamation study update that we have not received yet. I would like to talk about the lobbyist contract and bring that power back to the board.
That power was in the board, and we had a motion. We discussed it, and we had a motion. And what I hear you doing with the lobbyist is undoing our motion.
I would like to bring that back for discussion, yes.
If you have support on that, we will do that.
But first, on the subject of meeting on December 8th, don't we want to find out if there will be a report from the de novo hearing available or not? There's no point in meeting unless we have a report back from Coastal Commission.
I agree.
You know, I would suggest that we do it the way we've always done it, that if there is business, there will be a meeting. And if there is no business, unless I'm overruled, then, you know, I know I do this on my own. I do it with Bob and with staff. We get together and there's no business and we've canceled meetings. We've done that several times.
Well, I would agree with you, and the business at hand would be a report from the de novo hearing. And if that is not available, I don't see a point in meeting in December. That's my opinion.
Okay. Carly, do you have anything to say?
Well, I'd rather know sooner rather than later for meeting or not, just for the sake of knowing, but I would, I'm not sure where we're going to go if we don't have that information back at that time, and I don't know if that's enough time for them to prepare a report, given the holidays and things like that, from the time they meet, so.
We'll just wait and see how it shakes out. That's what I would suggest. Yes, Dennis?
If you don't mind a comment, I could provide, as I always do, a written monthly status report and
AGP,
provide feedback regarding the meeting that we are having at the end of this month. I would also like to point out to the City Council and the board that in the DUDEC contract, this is the last meeting with the JPA that is in their contract. They have two meetings with the Coastal Commission, formal meetings with Coastal Commission commissioners at public hearings. And so if your intention was to have the DUDEC team come back and give additional detailed information regarding this issue, it would come at a cost.
Got it.
My question, though, would be, Mr. Delza, you are also going to be at those meetings or no?
Do that. We've given Dennis the ability to to get Mrs. McCabe activated if he needs to without having to come to us. Obviously, you want to undo that. I'm not supportive of that. Let's see how the others are. I'll go down to Carla. All right. I can skip over Carla and go to Nancy.
No.
George?
No. Let him do his job.
So you...
That's why I would say let's bring that power back to us. So, Carla? I'm interested to know how close I am. Okay, so we have two. The other thing I'd like to talk about is the JPA agreement. We haven't had an update about that JPA agreement and the negotiations. It's dropped off our radar pretty considerably for at least the last half of a year, if not longer. And I think it's about time that we have an update there because of some of the issues that have come up recently.
Such as?
Such as flows, such as different burdens that our communities are hosting, the general contract itself, how those negotiations are going. We as a board, when people ask me how they're going, I have no idea what to respond to them. There's been no report to us, so seems like a good time to touch base on that and get some information to the public about what's happening with our negotiations.
Well, it's funny. I was just going to turn to you or Andrea.
It's a real simple answer. There's no negotiations going on right now. It's premature to until you really know where this project is heading and you're going to have coastal approval. You'll have plenty of time to negotiate that agreement when you know what the project is, what components it has, and where it's going. So it's been on hold for the year since the whole issue came up of the coastal development permit. So to try to negotiate, what would we negotiate? Do we know for sure the project is going where it's going? Do we know exactly what the flows would be, the capacities? So we've just put it on hold. We'll pick it back up. And I've been telling the public that, and I thought I told council that. So we'll pick it back up as soon as, and hope, you know, that could be as soon as March. It could be another year. But there's nothing to negotiate right now because we just don't have enough information as to what to put into the agreement.
And I would submit that when we do that, that we would talk about it first. Not first as the body.
So the discussions about flows and all of that are basically everything that we had done to that point has been suspended. There's no information about where we were.
Well, I'm going to try and... Go ahead.
It hasn't been worked on since the last council because we've been pretty much in this... position right now of suspending it till we know where we're going. So nobody's worked on it since then. It's just waiting.
So the current board, which has new members, has never been updated then on the status of the negotiations, where they were, and what the existing conditions are.
That's the current contract.
As a new member of the board, I believe we have the information on what's gone on before and the contracts, and we know what's happened. But again, there's no point in making assumptions as to what will be next until we get through this part of the process and know where we're going. But I mean, that information is perfectly available and readily available. At least I felt like it was.
You know, we have an incomplete draft. That's about 40%.
You just can't do that. Even Rob waited for me to acknowledge him.
Very sorry, Mr. Mayor.
That's okay. Would you like to say something?
If I may?
I'm very sensitive to being interrupted, so I apologize.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
We do have an incomplete draft. It's probably 40% finished. There's a lot of empty spaces because we really don't know capacities. We don't know a lot of the information we need to finish it, but we can submit that to everyone and... You can see where it stands and agendize it as you feel appropriate.
Okay. I can see I don't have support anyway, but I would appreciate if we all were to receive that draft. So I think there's enough information that the public would appreciate the reclamation study updates and then an update about how the Coastal Commission staff meeting goes for us to warrant scheduling a meeting now so there's not this question of what's happening going forward.
I think that we have responded to that request already. If you want to go through it again, we can, but we want 1, 2, 3, 4, and
I didn't hear clearly whether we agreed or disagreed with scheduling a meeting now so we don't have to go through the dance of trying to do it later.
Okay.
And obviously with the stakes that we're playing with here and the size of this project, that to me, additional meeting to be able to update the public and keep them in the loop.
I'm going to concede my current comments first to Mr. Delzite, who has had his mic on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It depends on whether or not the Coastal Commission staff accepts the materials, the de novo materials that we're submitting to them. So that's we have quite a bit of information regarding potential wastewater reclamation in the reports. When they see that, when we have the discussion with them, then we'll know whether that's acceptable or not. Right now, that is as far as that's the extent of the material we have on that.
So, Nancy, I'm looking
so
for your...
back to me. I guess we could schedule the meeting and cancel it if we don't have the information available. At least then we know that potentially we need to set that evening aside.
But that's the way it is now.
I know. I'm just keeping it the
meeting,
way it is
the
now.
The meeting is scheduled.
Exactly.
And, but what NOAA wants is to lock that meeting in. That's the way I'm hearing this.
I'm asking to schedule the meeting. It's nothing more than that. It seems like that's
been scheduled.
It's been scheduled.
So at this point, we can assume that we have a meeting on the 8th unless notified otherwise.
Just like every time.
No. I didn't hear you say that. But
I didn't hear. I misunderstood you too then.
Yeah.
Okay. George, you have anything?
No.
Everything's
all set.
Do you have anything else?
We got a meeting scheduled.
I'm satisfied. We have a meeting scheduled for the 8th.
Okay.
Bob.
It's done.
Done deal.
Okay. Cayuga City, comments on that? Do you want to have a meeting? Or Dennis, I would just say that we're anxious to hear what the Coastal Commission staff has to say. We'd be happy to have a report from you on that regard. If there's something that comes up where you feel we need to get together and make some decisions, then you tell us, we'll have a meeting.
There you go.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anything else from either, anybody? We're adjourned. Thank you for being here tonight. Yeah.